Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you and welcome to the Monday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. It is the 23rd of September 2024. And I know that those that got paid on the 15th, probably the money is done. And those who are still going to be paid on the 25th are looking forward to the 25th with bated breath. I think I'm one of them because I'm waiting for my salary. At the end of the 25th, right? And so today's topic becomes quite very, very important and very relevant for the time that we are in. But let me welcome you and welcome to the second and final hour of the show. It is a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media, plus 2773-470-3520. That's, of course, the number that you can use to talk to us this evening. We're talking about budgeting tips. And most of us know and actually understand the importance of budgeting, but it's easy to get overwhelmed by the many details, especially those that are included in the budgeting process on its own. And I think for a lot of us, it then becomes a little bit of, intimidating then. And so we are joined this evening by Tsungai to help us understand how much should be allocated to what. How strict does one need to be? And more importantly, how does one budget, especially for the unexpected? And she's joining us this evening to talk to us a little bit about that. Good evening, Tsungai.
Good evening, Thapelo. Good evening to your wonderful listeners.
How are you today?
I am fabulous, fantastic, phenomenal, all the things that are spirit-filled and doing well.
Look at that. I just wanted to ask you one question. Where are you going this holidays? Are you going away?
I'm not doing a short lift. I recently had a massive international trip, so yeah. I'm going to be recovering.
Okay. Okay, recovering is good. I am so much looking forward to these holidays because I'm tired. I haven't done any short left this year. And I think it's a okay. The very small one that I did was on my birthday. On the 25th of August, I went to this place called Cullinan for a safari. It was really nice, I must say. It was really, really nice. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. Meaning that your pennies are working for you.
Well, they should be. They have no other option.
You can say that again.
Yeah. So, if God agrees or if all things go, accordingly, then a little bit of, 2-3 nights away this December would also be very nice to just rejuvenate and all that. Mm-hmm. I told my bosses that I am not on air this December. I want to go away because I'm tired. I've been on air for years now without taking a break, even in December.
Well,
we
thank you for your commitment and service. Because imagine a radioler Christmas.
Like for years, even the other Decembers, I was like, yeah, let me just, not leave, stand in while others are taking short lefts. So this year, I'm the one taking a short left. They can come and work. It's fine. It's, we need to change.
That's how you make this work for yourself.
Exactly. And that's why then this conversation becomes very important. But I wanted to start here for people who may not know you, just a little bit of an intro about yourself.
So, as everyone knows, my name is Tsungai, and I am also popularly known on the streets as a money mama.
Yeah,
I am a director of a company called IWCP Preventus, which is a financial advisor and wealth creation company.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely passionate about wealth creation. Mm. I've also recently been recognized as a financial and inclusion award recipient by the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to help people take their money matters to the next level.
Fantastic. And that's why we have you on this particular segment. I don't think there's anyone we can get much better than you. But help me understand here, Tsungai, all right? I want us to get into the intricacies of the process, what to do with what and how do you do all of that. But if we were to just take a bit of a recap, it sounds like we all know budgeting, but the process is just a little bit intimidating, isn't it?
You can say that, Thapelo, but I think for me, what I've learned over time in my experience, working with individuals, helping them in their wealth creation process, is that more than anything, money management starts in the mind.
Okay, okay.
By the time you get your rands, your cents in your pocket, if your mindset is not right about how you're going to be creating wealth for yourself, you're already in a losing battle. So for a lot of clients, I always say to them, understand that money is your servant. You're not here to serve money.
Yeah.
Money is here to serve you.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be making money your servant, as a commander in any army, you come in and you show that you are in control.
Yes.
If money is serving you, you have to show up as the boss of the money. But a lot of us are intimidated by the processes that make us show up as a boss. When it comes to money management. And then what then happens is, because we're in a default mode of fear, of victimization, of feeling uncomfortable, guess what? We then accentuate or reflect those feelings, and we actually don't win with money as much as we should. So I think for starters, it really comes down to, what is your relationship with money? Do you believe you could be a fantastic money manager? Because I always say, if you're a great money manager, guess what? Money loves staying with great money managers. But if you're intimidated, or if you don't have control, you show that you don't have power when it pertains to money, guess what? It flees, and it looks for someone who's more responsible, more accountable, and who can actually make money work better. It's like, think about it, if you're a company, right? Do employees come to a company that's dysfunctional, or they love to come to a company where they'll actually get good quality output?
Definitely.
So same thing with money. If you show that you're a great boss, it actually looks for other employees for you.
Ooh, look at that, right? It almost like money can sense when you are just not in tandem with it, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. That's why they say the rich get richer. The rich have mastered the ability to make money work for them. And then they're great bosses. What happens? Money calls its friends, and they're having a lacquer party in that particular rich man's house.
Ah, look at that. Okay. Talking about showing up and showing control, are there any things that are an absolute must or uncompromisingly must be included when you are talking about a budget? Because I'm sure with a budget, you are showing money that I'm the master, and so I put together a budget. Are there any uncompromising things that should be in a budget?
So I advocate for what we call the Pinter rule, and I'll talk about two specific ways of budgeting.
Yeah.
The first one is called the Pinter rule, which is all about putting money into buckets. And I've got specific buckets I say allocate your money to. So the first bucket is what I call the consumption bucket.
Okay.
And your consumption bucket has to have at least 50% of your income.
Right?
When I say income, I'm not talking the gross, I'm talking the net income, whatever is hitting your bank account. So 50% of that goes in for consumption. The next 10% goes to what I call short-term savings or emergencies. So you must have an emergency fund in your savings, in your Pinter rule. A budget, and basically what your emergency savings are for is that rainy day. At the moment, 70 cents out of every 1 rand of a South African goes towards debt management.
Okay.
And when you think about it and you drill down, most of that debt comes in when people have an unforeseen circumstance. The sickness of a loved one, the death of a loved one, medical expenses that were not planned for, etc. So to avoid having to dip into a short-term loan facility, my recommendation is start preparing for those rainy days. 10% of income has to be allocated to that rainy day fund, that emergency fund. And I would also go as far as putting a guideline that this kitty should grow and be equivalent to 3 to 6 times worth of your expenses.
Sure.
So as an example, if your expenses are 20,000 rand, you want to grow your kitty or your emergency fund to the point where it becomes at least 60,000 rand.
Okay.
And you keep growing it over time. So 50% to consumption, 10% towards your short-term savings,
yes,
and then a further 10% has to go to what I call your medium-term savings.
Okay.
So what are the things that you aspire to achieve in life?
Mm.
Is it buying a house?
Mm.
Is it buying a car?
Mm.
Is it having money saved up for your children's education?
Mm.
And is it going for an international trip?
Mm.
Whatever it is you aspire for, a goal that you want to achieve in 3 to 5 years, you've got your medium term kitty,
okay,
that you then put aside with 10% of your income in.
Mm.
That.
Mm. Okay.
The next 10%, all right, goes towards what I call your long term investing.
Okay.
So what are your long term investments? Your long-term investments could be something like retirement.
Retirement.
We know retirement will come, so don't pretend like,
yeah,
it's not coming.
Yeah.
Prepare for it,
mm-hmm,
okay? We don't want to perpetuate what they call the sandwich generation, mm, or the caregiver generation, because we were inadequately prepared for our own exit in,
mm,
our workplaces.
Yeah.
So make sure you start putting that 10% every single month, so that you can at least have something you can live off,
yeah,
in your,
yeah,
best days.
Yeah.
So we're now at 50, 60, 70, 80.
80.
The next 10%, mm, all right, goes to debt management.
Okay.
So if you've got personal loans, if you've got credit cards, if you've got revolving loans, store loans, the entire works,
mm-hmm,
that 10% there should be allocated towards debt reduction.
Sure.
Which begs the question that if I'm going to be applying for any sort of finance, whether it's motor vehicle finance,
yeah,
home loans,
yeah,
etc., I must make sure that that falls within the 10%
oh,
that I'm actually going to be using,
oh,
allocated specifically for those things. So if you find that now you are using more than 10% of your monthly income towards debt, more than 10% towards debt, you're highly likely to be financially stressed,
mm,
because you're not going to be making ends meet.
Mm.
And you'll find that every month you're literally chasing your tail.
Mm.
You're not earning enough to actually create wealth over time. And that puts a lot of people under financial stress.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So the last 10%,
yes,
for me is all about what I call your fund.
Okay.
Your bigger than life fund.
Okay.
And in your fund, all right, this is where you include things like philanthropy.
Yeah.
And philanthropy looks different for different people.
Yeah.
For some of them, they'll call it their tithe.
Yes.
For some of them, they'll call it my black tax kitty. For some of them,
mm-hmm,
they'll say, okay, I want to partner with the Red Cross. But that last 10% is for you to actually contribute,
yeah,
to something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with you benefiting financially from it.
Mm.
But I feel it's very important for us as human beings to continuously be selfless.
Mm.
So the last 10% is about doing something bigger,
yeah,
than yourself, contributing to other people's well-being, contributing to a body, an association, an organization,
yeah,
an institution like,
yeah,
church. But then you'll realize that after you've done that, 50% to consumption, 50% to short-term savings, 10% to short-term savings, 10% to medium-term savings, 10% to long-term savings, 10% to debt management,
yeah,
and then 10% to the larger-than-life fund.
Yeah.
You actually have completed this plan in terms of,
okay,
the total role.
Yeah. Sure. That's less intimidating now, right? And it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I love the philanthropy bit because it makes us a lot less selfish and,
mm-hmm,
inwardly looking, because like you said, some would give it to tithe, but others have some philanthropic work, you know, that they also contribute towards, which I think is really quite big, to have something that's outside of yourself, that's not about you, that you're contributing,
yes,
to, you know, it really makes life, I suppose, a whole lot more meaningful, because when some of the reports come out about some or other greater work that's been done by the organization that you supported through your 10%, I think there's an, you know, a feeling that says you've done something right, you know, and something that you can then take home with. I would have thought the debt management was in the consumption 50%. What's in that 50% then?
I love your question.
Yeah.
So in the 50%, I say have a detailed line-by-line,
okay,
allocation of your expenses that are consumptive.
Okay.
So we have things like rent.
Okay.
We've got things like water, electricity, utilities, rates. You've got fuel there. You've got a car. If you don't, you would have transport.
Yeah.
And this transport must include your Uber trips.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just the work trip to and from home. It's also all those Uber trips that
your
people
friends.
Are so used to indulging in.
Yeah.
Have there a groceries line item.
Mm.
But separate groceries from eating out. If you're going to be ordering in KFC, you're ordering in to Nando's, you're ordering in from Chicken Licken, make sure there's a line item there for how much you're prepared to spend every single month towards ordering in or eating out. Then another line item that people leave out is entertainment. If you're buying anything that has got to do with entertaining yourself or you're spending money on movies, you're spending money at Gold Reef City, anything that has got to do with entertainment, have a line item there for it. Another thing where I see people trip up is gifting. This month is Umalume's birthday. But you don't put it there because you know what? We don't actually consider it as an expense. Or we don't consider it as part of our consumption. But it is because there's cash flow coming out of your So have that gifting line item. Another one that I find that most women look over is hair and nails. It's a huge allocation in our spending budget. So have a line item for those beautiful 10-inch nails, a line item for that, you know,
expensive
hair piece that you're going to be getting. Make sure it's there because what you don't monitor, you can't manage. If you cannot say how much you're spending on each and everything that you spend every single month, this is how people end up having more money.
Yeah.
I mean, more months than money. Having more months than money because 9 out of 10 times they're not actually sure where their money is going and how they're actually allocating it. So even the most you know, like those expenses that we overlook. You know, like airtime. Oh no, I'm just buying 10 rand airtime. Allocate it in your budget. If you need 10 rand every single week, then over 4 weeks, that's 40 rand. Put that 40 rand airtime into your budget. Bank charges, another culprit that people overlook. And someone will have a Capitec account, they'll have an Absa account, they'll have a Nedbank account, as if they are the chairman of National Treasury. Why? I don't understand. But it's important that if it's there on paper, you can actually start seeing how much am I honestly spending on keeping 3 bank accounts open. If you're not receiving 10 streams of income, why
there's
do
no
you
need
for 3
that.
Bank accounts?
Definitely.
Really now? Okay?
Definitely.
So, very important to have a detailed account of how you're spending money. And what I tend to encourage my clients that I coach is, if you're not familiar with how you've been using money, take 3 months worth of your bank statements, the last 3 months.
Okay.
Get different color highlighters, okay? So, for example, if you want to, you can have blue for consumption, orange for that short-term savings, pink maybe for medium-term savings, maybe purple for your long-term savings, have neon for, say, your debt management, and then if you want to have something like luminous yellow for your larger than life fund, and you then highlight line upon line upon line on
your
bank
statement
for each month, then add up the amount.
Sure.
For anything that I said was consumptive, how much did I honestly spend on that?
Yeah.
Anything that I called debt management, how much did I honestly spend on that? For anything that had to do with my short-term savings, medium-term savings, long-term savings, how much did I spend on that? And for my larger-than-life or fund, how much did I allocate for that? And you will be shocked how there's such an imbalance in terms of how we allocate our money.
Yeah.
Right? There will be such an imbalance in terms of how we use money.
Yeah.
And that's what becomes so important, because next month, instead of pretending that you do groceries for 2,000, you actually be honest with yourself and say, actually, I spent 3,000 rand. Let me just put the 3,000 here.
Yeah.
But also what this exercise does is it shows you where your priorities are, because your money will be allocated to what's important to you. And if those things don't align with the norm of long-term general wealth creation, then it's a good opportunity to reflect and look back and say, "Whoo, I've been missing the mark, but I'm going to get better starting next month."
Definitely. I'm thinking about the airtime, like you're saying, you know, we take it for granted. I'm thinking about the different streaming platforms that we have. You know, they take about 150, but you think that it's just 150, but you don't realize that it actually adds up at the end of the day. You get hit by a debit order, you know, reversal or something like an insufficient fund because, you know, that was overlooked. You didn't pay that because you forgot about it.
It's such a powerful point to mention because I've come across people who, when I start coaching them, they've got DSTV, they've got Netflix, they've
all of
got
them.
Disney Plus,
all of
they've
them.
Got everything, Showmax.
Yeah.
And then I ask them, okay, how many weekends do you have in a month? Because I definitely don't have enough time to be subscribed to all these channels or platforms a month. I don't have enough time to watch them.
Sure.
So if you're going to be honest, which ones are you actually using quite often?
Yeah.
And then stick to those. Another one where I see people falling short is, again, from these subscriptions from a... from a storage perspective, you have OneDrive, you have your Google Drive, then you've also got
Apple
Dropbox,
etc.
And I'm like, but how many terabytes of information are you storing? Are you MTN? Do you need several platforms? And the thing that gets people a lot is, you know, it's going to be 69 rand here. It's going to be 79 rand. It's insignificant amount. But when you add it up, it becomes 500 rand, which is a lot.
Exactly.
You see, which is why tracking your expenses over the last 3 months, you must definitely do yourself a favor.
No,
because
definitely.
You will see your true color.
Hey. Yeah, no, definitely. And we love these streaming platforms. It just doesn't make sense why we've subscribed to all of them at this. No, this one doesn't have that. It just doesn't make sense. And I think you're quite correct. It's a principle. How many weekends do you have to binge on every other platform that you're subscribed to? You find that in a month, in a year, in fact, you've only watched 2 times, you know, this particular streaming platform, but it has debited you 12 months because they never miss those debits. They make sure that
they are faithful. If you could be faithful.
Yeah.
If you could be faithful at managing your money,
You
definitely put a stop to that.
So is it the chicken or the egg first, Tsungai? You know, when I look at my budgeting, do I look at my life and then budget my finances accordingly, or look at my finances first and then plan my life accordingly? Which one is chicken and egg here?
Look at your finances and let your lifestyle revolve around the money that can be afforded in that lifestyle.
Okay.
And that's extremely important because a lot of people spend more than they earn because they have a lifestyle in their head they're chasing that's not in alignment with their
finances.
Income.
Yeah.
So for me, it's all about having the life you can afford at this point in time.
Yeah.
And remember, it doesn't mean that this is your lifestyle forever.
Yes.
All right.
It's at that time.
This could be the lifestyle you afford at this point in time that's within your means.
Yes.
We need to train ourselves to live within our means.
Yes.
What does this mean to the simple layman listening to us? If you take home 10,000, don't spend more than 10,000.
No, don't. Don't.
Okay?
Mm.
Spend 9, 8, 7, or anything less than your 10,000.
Definitely.
But don't put yourself in a position where you end up spending more than you earn.
Yeah.
Because this is how that death hole captivates you. It's like a hamster wheel when you get into debt.
Yeah.
Getting out of it becomes extremely challenging.
Extremely difficult.
So for me, make sure you're just spending what you earn. And in my home, we actually say, if you cannot buy it for cash,
then
walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't afford it. Technically, if you need to borrow from four, and four could be your credit card, four could be a personal loan. If you need to borrow from four to buy this thing, you're not yet at the level where you can actually afford it.
That's really amazing.
If you know that you want to buy a big item, whether it's a TV, a stove, etc., put yourself under a savings plan for it. Okay? Lay by yourself. So if my kitchen unit is going to cost me 12,000 and I want to have it in 6 months' time, put aside that 2,000 rand every single month until you get to your grand amount of 12,000 and then go and pay for it cash. Until that day, you've got no business upgrading your kitchen suite because you really can't afford it.
Yeah, I know you can't. And stores allow for even longer periods of labor, you know. So there's nothing that really puts you under pressure to go at it from a debt point of view, I suppose. Just labor it and allow yourself the discipline to actually work at paying it off until... It's not on debt and all the bills. On debt is three times, I suppose, what it really is. How much room should I allow to move around, wiggle around? Is it budgeting to the last T?
So for me, I always say budget for the last thing.
Okay.
We actually call that zero-sum budgeting.
Yes.
And the reason why I prefer this option is because it's the small leaks that always sink a ship. Those small unaccounted amounts are the ones that bankrupt us. It's not the 10,000 rand school fees that's always on your line item. No. It's the data that you buy unconsciously. It's the takeout you order ever so often. Those small expenses are what actually take us out of living within our means, because we think they're so insignificant, but they are significant, especially when it's over a long period of time or when they're continuous or consistent. So again, it's just, you know, sticking to those money management principles. And for someone who's thinking, oh my goodness, why should I be bothering? I don't earn enough. 60% of the millionaires in America still do a budget every single month. Now, if they're managing six figures, you with four figures, three figures, who's even earning five figures, why don't you do yourself a favor and learn from the best? Because I say success leaves clues. So if successful people know the importance of managing their own income, managing their expenditure as part of their wealth creation process, who are you to deny yourself the same privilege?
Yeah, I love that. Success leaves clues here and there. And it's, suppose, upon us, an incumbent upon us, to actually go after those clues and start learning and applying from those clues as well. I want us to end then, because I know you don't have time to look at the tips, maybe any other tips that you may add. But I want to go back to the 10% of short term. With the need to grow it to three or six times at least of what you would, you know, be your consumption every single month and all that. Yo, sounds like a tall tower, isn't it? Yo, three to six times.
Remember what he said, it starts in the mindset. If you are going to already say it's overwhelming, you will be overwhelmed and you'll actually never get it done. So the important thing is to first believe it is possible. Rome was not built in a day. You start where you can afford. If what you can afford, because now you're trying to get yourself out of debt much quicker, is 1,000 rand a month, commit that 1,000 rand, even if it's not yet 10% yet. Commit that 1,000 rand and slowly build up that emergency fund. Because at the end of the day, you are starting the right disciplines that will get you to that three to 6 months in terms of your monthly expenses. It's not to say that if you can't get to the 10% tomorrow, you are a complete failure. Absolutely not. It's a principle. And if you're not there yet, start where you can afford and slowly build up. Sometimes what people will do is they'll say, okay, I'm going to find that 1,000 rand this month. Next month, I'm going to increase it by 100 rand. I'm going to put in one. The following month, I want to actually increase it by another 100 rand. Then second month, they're now at 1.2. And then it becomes a progressive journey that doesn't feel like it's choking them or it's suffocating them.
Yeah.
Because I promise you, the money is there.
You just need
to prioritize that emergency fund.
And there's this hand, Tsungai, just on this one for the last time. There's this hand that always comes up because it's almost like there's always a reason to spend money because it happens, I think, quite a lot with also when you investing or, you know, buying shares without any sort of plan or whatever. Put in the money and then 2 weeks later you take it out. Okay, you know what? Month end, I'm going to double it. Month end comes, you think you're going to double it. Now you can't double it and you promise yourself, okay, I'm going to do it next month. I'm going to do it. Hey, how do we fight that thing?
There's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing called discipline.
Okay.
It's tough, but its fruits are unbelievably sweet.
Yeah.
So if you want to make it in life as a wealth creator, you must be disciplined. You must learn the art of commitment.
Yeah.
If I say that for the next 12 months, I need to put aside just 1,000 rand as an example into my emergency fund, you commit to that discipline.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to commit to it. Because if you don't commit to something, someone else will commit your money for you.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Oh.
So you have to make up your mind. I want to do this for myself and I will do this for myself. So if I tell myself that my target is 12,000 rand, you work at that 12,000 rand. Come rain, high water, thunder, or snow.
Yeah.
You commit to that ultimate goal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is snowing in South Africa or in some parts of South Africa. So yeah, even with this snow, we need to stick to it. How do we close it up now? What would be some of the broad strokes that you would sum it up with and maybe add and let's take it home?
I always end with this.
Yeah.
And it's just start.
Don't
wait to have a perfect paycheck. Don't wait for the perfect day.
It never comes.
Just start with what you have and with what you are capable of. And you keep developing, you keep improving, you keep becoming better. Because in starting, 50% of the battle has already been won.
With starting, 50% of the battle is already won there. Sure. Love it. Love it. And I think these type of conversations are also success clues. So I hope my listeners are also listening and taking in some of these ones as well. Thank you so much, Tsungai. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much and have a lovely day further.
Enjoy yours too. Goodbye. That was, of course, Tsungai, the mummy coach, talking to us this evening about, you know, budgeting and some of the tips that she's given to us. I just wanted to just run over a little bit on what she said. You must have 50% on consumption, and these are your expenses, rent, fuel, transport, Uber, going on dates and all those sort of stuff. Those things should be in there. You must have 10%, of course, and aim to grow that to 3 to 6 times of what you are using for consumption. That is now your short term, which looks after your emergencies and stuff like that. Medium term, 3 to 5 years. Also put some money around 10% every single month for your 3 to 5 years. Maybe you want to go to school, you want to go and study, you want to do this or other degree and all that. So have some money that you put aside that, you know, in 3 years time, I'll be going back to school. For example, I'm going to do my master's or I'm going to do my dog trade or whatever the case might be, put some of that money there. And then long-term retirement, 10% there. And I think with the fact that most employers these days, they take that retirement money as a must, as a compulsory deduction of your earnings there, also helps with that. So don't go and withdraw it to port. Yeah, as a two-port in your hand, don't go and withdraw that money because, yeah, you are withdrawing from your future self. It's almost like you're taking a bits and pieces of your hand and leg and whatever. And by the time you get to retirement, you're limping. And when you're limping, you've got nothing to support you. Okay, I'm being dramatic, but I think you get the point, right? So don't take from your retirement there. And then debt, 10%. She says, spend 10% of your earnings on debt, whether it is a house, a car, whatever the case might be. 10%. Now that's, okay, I'm not going to, you know, flog my mind with that and all that, because she said it starts with my mind. If I say it in my mind that it's not possible, then it's not going to happen. But 10% should be for debt management. Oh, it's a tall ask, but I'm going to be positive, like she said. We need to find ways to bring our debt to 10% of our earnings, right? And then have that fund for philanthropy, for tithe and offerings and all those sort of stuff. Have that ready for you as well. Yeah. Yeah, those are some of the tips that Tsungai has shared with us, and I hope that we've learned for ourselves and we'll apply them.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.